Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
John James Audubon's book, Birds of America, had a transforming effect on the study of natural history in the United States. The life-size images of the birds are colorful, artistic, and beautifully detailed. 175 copies were originally printed, but today, just 120 of them have survived intact. Naturalist Laurie Sanders found one of them in Massachusetts at Amherst College.
Every Monday morning, in the lobby of the Special Collections Department in Amherst College's main library, Marion Walker undoes one lock, then another. She removes the back plate of glass from the display case that she and others in archives call the birdcage. With a gentle pull, she slides out a large tray.
This is one of the volumes of the Birds of North America by Audubon. It was given by the Pratt family, and we keep one volume out for a certain amount of time, and once a week we turn a page.
The book measures nearly 2 feet by 3 feet and is one of the largest books ever printed. Walker leans way over, gently but firmly grips the page in two places, and slowly flips it over.
The paper's rather, not completely fragile, but we do want to be careful with it. And there we have the prairie starling.
Today we know this specimen by a different common name, red-winged blackbird. On this plate, Audubon has painted the male and female perched on a shrub, the male with his wings arched to show off his red shoulder patches, the female watching him. The image is one of 435 different birds that Audubon painted for Birds of America. Each bird is shown in life size, so relative to the size of the paper, these red-winged blackbirds look small.
We do have people who show up once a week to see which bird is on display that week, so we have our regulars.
But anyone can come here and ask to see all of the Audubon books. The other volumes are stored in a locked vault. They're so heavy and awkward that archivist Peter Nelson says it takes two people to move them onto a cart and roll them down to the reference room to look at.
Most of the Audubon Birds of America are just the plates and no letterpress printing. But our copy is the only known copy to have the list of subscribers' names after the title page. And here we see the subscribers' names, about 130 or so of them. At the very top, His Most Gracious Majesty George IV, King of England.
Audubon came to the United States from France in the early 1800s as a young man, sent by his father to avoid being drafted into the Napoleonic Wars. He was a self-taught artist and naturalist. Once here, his first job was to oversee a lead mine on some family property near Philadelphia. But Audubon wasn't very interested in doing that, and he wasn't very good at it either. In fact, all of his attempts at later businesses failed too. The main reason is because he was much more interested in being outdoors, exploring, observing, and painting wildlife, especially birds. In 1819, he decided to devote himself entirely to painting and describing all the birds of America.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, this is the biggie. Plate one. One of the most popular Audubon plates is the wild turkey. In life size, it fills the entire leaf pretty much within about a half an inch or a quarter of an inch to the edge. Audubon painted his birds as naturalistically as possible. This was a very big departure from previous naturalists' illustrations of birds and animals.
The worst thing that could happen to a bird was to see Audubon come towards it with a shotgun, basically.
John Burke is an Audubon scholar and professor of botany at Smith College.
He would obviously kill them or buy them dead, but essentially he would wire them up in poses and then paint them, and he had a grid so that he could transfer the body onto the paper life size.
Although the poses Audubon used were sometimes criticized as overly theatrical or even inaccurate, Burke says Audubon's Birds of America was hugely important.
First, the illustrations made every bird widely available. Secondly, there was a text, and it is not as well read as it should be. It has sort of a rambling tone to it, and people have objected to various aspects of it. But he described every bird that he knew and gave a great deal of information that certainly is good today.
In the process of preparing Birds of America, Audubon discovered new species of birds. He painted several that are now extinct: Carolina parakeet, passenger pigeon, the great auk, heath hen. He was an avid hunter, but he also recognized that certain species were declining because of overhunting and habitat changes. Burke says, as a person, Audubon was driven, adventurous, lively, and outspoken. He was a storyteller who sometimes didn't let the truth get in the way of telling a good story. Burke says, if you read his memoirs, you either become angered or intrigued. For Burke, it's the latter.
You can look at the Birds of America with pleasure again and again. I mean, just leafing through, I'm surprised looking at them, how appealing they are and the drama that's inherent in many of the pictures.
Unlike modern field guides, where the birds are grouped together according to their similarities, Audubon organized Birds of America with a repeating pattern, a big bird, then a medium-sized bird, then three smaller ones. Given its layout, Marion Walker never knows week to week which species to expect. She says she could look it up in the index, but the surprise is part of the delight of her Monday morning ritual. Still, she doesn't resist when I ask her to look ahead.
Oh my goodness, it's the pelican. It's the brown pelican.
For Living on Earth, I'm Laurie Sanders.
Coming up, a young Native American looks to the stars and helps land a man on the moon. That's just ahead on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.